amen, and amen. He's wonderful. He's stupendous. He's magnificent. He is off the chart. He is amazing. That's the kind of God we serve. We bless the name of the Lord in this place today. Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 6. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 6. And there in the text, I want to start reading at verse number 16. And as we read 16, we're going to read through verse 18 in Matthew's Gospel. This is classically defined as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And if you look in Matthew chapter 6, say amen, we've located the text. When you look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible reads as follows. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Herein is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. Would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, The God of the Secret Places. The God of the Secret Places. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that your word would not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged, may minds be illuminated, may souls be convicted. I thank you for the men and women, boys and girls who are gathered in this sanctuary now. And I pray, dear Lord, that something is said and something is done that would draw them closer to you, O God, for them to consider the meaning and gift of everlasting life. I pray, dear Lord, that you would break somebody's yoke and loose somebody's bondage. And we shall be careful, God, to give your name glory, praise, and honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Beloved of God, ushers, you may take your seat. Beloved of God, I want to use the occasion of this first Sunday in March to draw our attention to the meaning of what it means to subjugate and put under subjection the flesh to which we all are prone. And when I say that, Deacon Poole uses a phrase that I think is quite apropos, and that is something that we're all prone to, and that is our human condition. The Bible says we're all shaped by sin, born into sin, and shaped by iniquity. And this notion of our sin nature, our sinfulness, is something all of us battle against. For if we're human, we wrestle against our own sense of sin. And one's wrestling with sin is not another person's wrestling with sin. But we all wrestle with our sin nature. Dr. King preached one of his great sermons called The Drum Major Instinct, in which he says that a baby is born with an innate desire, an innate need to have his or her needs attended to. So when they cry, they want someone to soothe them. When they wet, they need someone to change them. When they are hungry, they need someone to feed them. And they're not too concerned about what other folks' time schedule is, because for a baby, we want what we want when we want it, and we need it right now. And so there is something that he says, left unchecked, that innate desire to have our needs tended to now, if we don't somehow channel it, will consume and overwhelm, and we may run the risk of growing up into a sin nature that has a need and desire to have its basic needs met when they want it met in instant gratification. And in point of fact, our society does not help us because we live in a microwave society. We don't have much patience for anything anymore. We pop it in the microwave. We wanted it done a minute later. And if it's a minute over, we're going to have some problems, because that's the kind of society we live in. We want what we want when we want it, and we want it now. But how many of you know we must constantly be in check against our human condition to say what you want when you want it? Because the God we serve does not operate on our microwave timetable. God might just say wait. And in point of fact, more often than not, when I'm asking for something from the great God of the universe, God says it is often wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. I say upon the Lord. And so this notion of checking our sin nature is really a part of what our liturgical season of Lent is all about. And I wanted to stop and pause for a moment. We've preached about Black History Month. We've reflected on the great heroines and heroes of our racial ethnic experience. And I want to just back up, because on February the 18th, we celebrated or observed Ash Wednesday. It is now 2+ weeks after February 18th. We're almost in the middle of the Lenten season, a 40-day season of preparation for Holy Week. And you and I must be reminded, as Christians in the Judeo-Christian faith, or believers in the Judeo-Christian faith, that we must constantly be on guard to check our sin nature. That's what Lent is really about. Advent is a great season in the liturgical calendar. Epiphany is a great season in the liturgical calendar. But the season of Lent and Ash Wednesday, where we put dust on our heads and remind ourselves from whence we have come, and the fact that no matter how holy we think we are, we need to be reminded from dust we have come, and for to dust we shall return. Were it not for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, we would not be where we are. And so it isn't because of how good looking we are, how smart we are, how politically connected we are, how advanced we are, how many fraternity and sorority we're members of. What matters most is our ability to subjugate our sin nature and allow the Spirit of God to have God's way in our lives. Lent is about crucifying the flesh. Lent is about subjugating our sin nature. Lent is about putting our basic appetites on check and lockdown and say, I'm not going to be driven by what I see, what I feel, what I taste, what I hear. I'm not going to be driven by my basic instincts. I'm going to allow the Spirit of the living God to ordain my footsteps, direct my paths, and move me in the direction that God wants me to go. Why is that so important? Because in the world in which we live, the enemy is always trying to get us to act out of our sin nature. The enemy is always tantalizing us, tempting us, luring us to lay down our religion and pick up our sin nature and be guided by our bellies and our appetites. Not literally your food, but by the things that brings you pleasure. The things that bring us a sense of satisfaction, as opposed to being driven by what God says is the most important thing. Lent then becomes that 40-day season in which we give up some stuff. And instead of giving up chocolate and meat and some of the other stuff we tend to think about, I always say it, and we chuckle when I say it, but it's real as can be. Instead of giving up Lent, giving up meat and giving up this, we ought to give up negativity. We ought to give up pessimism. We ought to give up a certain sense of a negative mentality. We ought to give up all of those things that tend to hold us down and to hold us back, is so that we can fulfill the great promise that God has put upon all of our lives. And so Lent then is this season of looking inside, introspection, reflection, prayer, fasting. And yet it is to be done in a way that does not draw undue or extraordinary attention to yourself. Because if you draw extraordinary attention to yourself, then you might be doing the things to God for the wrong reason. And so Jesus, there are many texts within the Bible, Old and New Testament, that talks about fasting. One of the texts is Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. The scriptures say in Nehemiah that now on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. This is a reference to ashes that we place on our heads. It is a early Old Testament scriptural reference to what has become the Judeo-Christian ritual of Ash Wednesday. It is something that our Jewish brothers and sisters did in trying to connect to God. It was trying to wear sackcloth and to put ashes on their head as a way of debasing themselves, lowering themselves, humbling themselves, that they may be reminded, from dust I've come, to dust I shall return. And so therefore, let me wallow in my ashes. Let me have a hardship for a moment, because life is full of hardship, and but for the grace of God do I make it through my hardships. So I lay all of this out simply as a reminder of the season we're in, the season of Lent. And while we are progressing for the next 2+ weeks through this season, Ash Wednesday kicked off the season of Lent. It shall end on Palm Sunday, March 29th. So we still have another almost 4 weeks left to go before we then arrive at Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday on the 5th of April. And so for these next several weeks, I want to give you, in the bulletin, we will give you a Lenten guide to reflect on certain key scriptures as you think about your time of Lent. But you don't need so much all these scriptures. Just remember, it's about humbling ourselves, pushing some things back. It can be food. It can be people. It can be monetary pleasure. It can be things that we take for granted. Let's push some things back so that you make room room for God. That's really what this is all about. Let me push some people back. How many of you know you might need to push a few folk back out of your life in order to make enough room for God to fill the void that has been there? And so God is challenging us to push some things back and during this season of Lent and say, Lord, have your way in my life. Change this very thing I've been working against and battling against in the name of the Lord Jesus. But here's what I want to use my sermon. Here's what the sermon's about today. While you're doing this, do not do it in the way that hypocrites do it. And so Jesus gives us a word in the text in Matthew chapter number 6. He starts off in verse number 16, the text I want to use by saying, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. If you look earlier in this chapter, in point of fact, Jesus uses three types of examples to talk to his disciples. Here's how I want you to be different. How many of you know that if you are a follower of the true follower of the Christ, you've got to be different than the way the world is even expecting you to behave? Because if Jesus is really Lord over your life, you're not going to talk the way other folk talk. You're not going to walk the way other folk walk. You're not going to think the way other folk think. There is going to be something discernibly different about your witness, because you ought to be able to say, I am a child of God without even opening up your mouth. Amen, somebody. If you got to open up your mouth to tell some folk you're a Christian, I wonder if you're really a Christian. But if they can discern that you are a Christian by the way that your behavior, the way that you look, the way that you carry yourself, your deportment, your attitude, your disposition, you don't even have to open up your mouth, because your witness will tell everything there is to say about who you believe in and the God you say you trust. Jesus says in the beginning of Matthew chapter 6, he says, when you do your charitable deeds, don't do it like other folk do it. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. He says, when you pray, don't pray like other folk pray with vain repetitions. In point of fact, he says, when you pray, you say this prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus tells his disciples, you've got to be different than others who are around you. And so by the time we get to verse number 16, he's already given them two examples. Don't give your charity like other folk do it. Don't pray your prayers like other folk pray them. And when you fast, don't do it like the hypocrites do it. For they cover their face and they go around and let other folk know, look at me, I'm fasting. And Jesus says in verse number 17, but when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you don't appear to be to men to be fasting. You ought not let other folk know that you are fasting. And if you do, it is not in a way that draws unnecessary attention to yourself. Have you ever met some folk who are really holier than thou? They do things to get a Holy Ghost, a holy attention. It's not Holy Ghost attention, it's holy attention. They do things to make others think that they are really hyper-spiritual and deeply religious. But how many of you know it's different being religious than be connected with the Almighty and true and living God? I know a lot of religious folk, but I don't know a lot of truly convicted folk. I know a lot of religious folk, they talk good, they walk it, they talk it, but they don't really live it. They don't really believe it. They don't really distracted. And so therefore, I believe God is saying, Jesus saying to his disciples, I need you to be real in your faith and not just be religious. Come on, somebody. God is tired of religious folk. Religion is about the outward trappings of our connection to God. This is when you do the invocation. This is how you do it. This is when you pray the prayer of comfort. This is when you do it. This is when you do your giving, your tithe. This is how you do it. It presumes that there is a ritual around your connection to God. And don't get me wrong, God wants us to do things decently in order. But every now and again, God will flip the script to remind you that he is still in control. God will take you off the page to remind you that he is still guiding your footsteps. Every now and again, God will rock you on your job, rock you in your marriage, rock you in your life, rock you in your body to remind you that God is still the one that is puppeting our lives and not the devil. And so you've got to realize, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to go. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. Wherever you want to take me, I'm willing to go there. Because I believe that if you are in control, I'm willing to walk with you through the valley and over the mountain. And if it does not fit within my religiosity, then it doesn't matter. I want you more than I want my religion. Jesus is saying, your connection to me must not be for outward appearance. It must not be for outward show. So he says, when you fast, don't fast like the hypocrites. Wash your face. Pick up your countenance. And let other folk know that you are all right. Because if God is with you in the middle of your circumstance, then you are all right. You may be hungry, but I'm not going to let anybody else know it, because God has supplied all my needs according to my riches in glory. I may not have my job much longer, but I believe that God will make a way out of no way. I'm praying for my teacher sisters, Morella and other folk who are going through this thing about layoffs in the Trenton Board of Education. But I love her spirit and I love other believers' spirit, because even though they're going to stand and say what thus saith the Lord, they ultimately understand that God is on the throne, and if somebody is doing some crooked stuff, God will straighten it out, and if somebody is doing some rough stuff, God will smooth it over. I'm just going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding, and all of my ways acknowledge that God is God and that God will direct my path. Jesus says to his disciples, you've got to be different. You've got to trust me in every situation. Do not draw extraordinary attention to yourself. When you fast, don't do this. And I want you to note something in verse number 18. He says, but when you fast, fast as unto your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Here's where I want to really end on this notion of what does it mean, the God of secret places. When you fast, he mentions this three times in the text. If you go back up to verse number 6, he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. If you go back up to verse number 3, he says, but when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. I believe that we serve a God who is in the secret places, but it does not mean he is secret and cannot be found. Let me distinguish this for you real quickly. The God of the secret places is not the God of mystery, where it's somehow it is of some riddle that I need to get to him, or some secret knowledge, or some secret handshake, or some secret way. No, God says if you knock, the door shall be open. If you seek me, you shall find me. So I'm not the God who is distant and secret. I'm the God who is in places that you never could imagine I would be in. And when you see me, I want you to know the devil understands that when the devil's trying to knock you down, I need you to stop your circumstance and look around in your picture and say, I see my enemies, I see my naysayers, I see my backsliders, but somewhere in my circumstance, there must be God somewhere. I don't know. You gotta stop in the middle of your situation and say, Lord, where are you? Because somewhere I know you're in this situation. When Daniel was in the lion's den, I believe God said, Daniel, I'm here with you in the lion's den. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, I believe that they said, you can throw me in the furnace, but God of my secret place will step into the furnace with me. Has God ever stepped into a place when you didn't know how you got there? You didn't know how long you were going to be there. You didn't know how you were going to get out of there. But the God of the secret place stepped into your circumstance, your trial, your tribulation. And he says, I may not come when you want me to, but I'm always right on time. I tell you, we serve a God. We serve a God who will step into secret places, places where we didn't even think we could go. Listen now, some of you have yet to experience circumstances that are going to rock your world. Things are going well on your job right now, but you keep living long enough. You might find a secret attack that comes your way, but I need you to be reminded there's a God of the secret places. You might be going throughout your health situation, everything's all right, but a routine checkup might reveal something detected on your breast, something detected in your prostate, and you are rocked in your world. But I need you to know, when the devil tries to throw you down, God of the secret place will step into your situation and pick you up out of the muck and the mire and lift you up from your secret place to a place where you can give God some glory and some praise. Do I have a witness here today where you didn't know how you got there, but God somehow stepped in there and opened up the door, moved the mountain, built the bridge, and made a way out of no way? I tell you, we serve a God of our secret places. Some of you still may not be getting it. Let me go on further in the text. The scripture says that the God who sees in secret will reward you openly. I just got to say a little something about Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and a few of these other social media stuff. We need to be careful about putting our stuff out in the public realm before we take it into our prayer closet and give it to God. Some of y'all still not with me on this thing. I tell some of these young people, stuff you put on Facebook is a permanent fingerprint that your future employer will Google you and say, let me check their Facebook account. And let me just give you an alternative way of handling your stuff. When you are going through your trials and going through your tribulation, instead of telling everybody on Facebook, and instead of telling everybody on Instagram, instead of telling everybody on Twitter, and instead of putting up a YouTube account, the Bible
Bible says, go in your prayer closet and tell the master all about your trials. Tell the master all about your tribulations. Tell the master all about your enemies. Tell the master all about your burdens. Get on your bended knee. Get on your prayer closet and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Stop telling everybody your business and start telling God all of your business, because the God of the secret place will hear your secret prayer. And when God gets ready, he's going to open up a window and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room. Do I have a witness here today? Do I have a witness here today? The Bible says the God of the secret place will hear your secret prayer and then reward you openly. Here's the kind of religion, spirituality I want us to practice. When your enemies are getting the best of you, keep your mouth shut, close your computer program, go in your prayer closet, you tell God all about it, and you just keep on praying, and you just keep on praising, and you just keep on waiting. And when God opens that window and your enemies are scratching their head, and when you get on the other side, and when you get your breakthrough, and when you get your deliverance, all you gotta do is stand up and say, thank you, Lord. I give you glory. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Listen, listen. The Bible makes it so abundantly clear. The God who sees in secret will. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say might. He said will reward you openly. And when you get your open blessing, you gotta go ahead and give God some open praise. Yeah, let me go back to Facebook. Let me change my tune a little bit. Don't put your business out there, but when your breakthrough comes, go ahead and put it on Facebook. When your deliverance comes, go ahead and tell everybody on Facebook. They don't have to know how you got blessed. Just tell them when you got blessed. Just tell them that you're blessed. Just tell them God has blessed you. I don't want us to miss this, because far too many of us miss our blessing. Because the Bible says, if you do it for show, verily, verily, you have your reward. But if you're looking for a different kind of reward, then you got to have a different kind of process. And the process I believe God wants us to have is one where you don't have to be boastful. You don't have to be arrogant. You don't even have to let your enemies know they got the best of you. In point of fact, don't let the devil see you sweat. You just fold your hands. And if you got to do what I say, say, my, my, my. I hear what you're saying. My, my, my. And you say, hold that thought for a minute. I'll be back. Give me about 5 minutes. And go in your prayer closet. And you let go and let God. And you tell God everything you need to tell him. And when you come back in front of your enemies, you just keep your composure. And you just wipe your brow. And you just say, if that's what you think, it's all right. But I serve another God. I serve a God who can move mountains out of my way. I serve a God who can heal the brokenhearted. I serve a God who can feed the hungry. I serve a God who can clothe the naked. I serve a God who can do the impossible. I serve a God who is able to do exceedingly. exceedingly abundantly more than I ever could imagine, ask, or think. I believe that is the kind of person that God is looking for. Not folk who draw undue attention to themselves. Not folk who want to wave the flag and say, look at me. God is saying, I am the God of the secret place. And if I can just change the name secret, maybe I can say it, the God of the private place, where it's just you and God. And you tell him everything in your private space, in your private place. But I can assure you, as long as I'm standing here today, that God wants to get God's glory. And God's going to serve notice to your enemies and your backbiters and your naysayers. You tried to kill my daughter, but I'm going to lift my daughter up. You tried to knock my son down, I'm going to lift my son up. You tried to destroy my children, I'm going to lift my children up. You tried to keep my children down, but I am the God of the secret place. I will take my child and put them where I want them to be. Keep your hands off my children. Keep your hands off my child. You are God's child. And you just need to be reminded of who you are and whose you are. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together to give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Because the God of the secret place wants to bless you openly. And I need a few folk who've been blessed openly already. You don't have to get another blessing, but you've already been blessed openly. I need somebody who can give God an open hallelujah. An open thank you, Lord. An open I praise you. I mean, you're not ashamed to give God some praise, because the Lord has been good to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Everybody standing to their feet. Everyone standing to their feet. I hope that something that was said today spoke to someone's heart. Deacons and deaconess, help me extend this invitation, please. Clergy, help me extend the invitation. All of us find ourselves, I don't care who you are, black or white, rich or poor, gay, lesbian, straight, whatever your human condition, God is saying, bring your cares to me and you watch me befuddle your enemies. I'll handle it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a promise that I want to offer to someone today. God says, I will bless you openly, but I need you to come to me privately. Come to me privately. And if God is speaking to you today, I want to offer you this blessed gift of eternal life and peace. Because you can have peace in your situation right now if you just give it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is beckoning you to come. Choir's going to sing. And the first invitation is, if you are a Christian but you don't have a church home, I want to invite you to consider joining with Shiloh today. We're not a perfect church, but I can tell you this, we are a church that loves the Lord. We love his word, and we're doing our best to try to love God's people. I want to invite you to come and give us your hand and give God your heart. Anyone here today? Anyone here today?
Oh, my sister.
more important invitation is for you to give your life to Christ. Joining a church doesn't mean you're saved. So if you really want to start a relationship with the eternal God, you want to start a relationship with God, God is saying, give me your hand and give God your heart. Anyone here today? Anyone here today? We bless the name of the Lord today. We bless the name of the Lord today.
We offer Christ to you.
God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated.